This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, what's up, Chris?
What's going on, Keith? How are you?
I'm all right. I'm managing. I am babysitting. I am doing the work that I got to do. I am watching the Orioles and the Blue Jays final game of that series. And now we're going to talk about our New York Yankees.
Yes, sir. The New York Yankees, who actually showed up last night and gave us a performance that at least if you have any visions, if you're as dumb as I am, that you hope that there's some hope in the season. You watch that game and you saw the offense wake up, hit big home runs. Cole continued to pitch the way he's pitched. They actually ran the bases and stole a run. IKF played a pretty good left field with two assists to throw out runners at second base. So it was a nice, clean, crisp win to get off the deck and not get swept heading to a big Houston series. So one game, obviously, but man, it was fun. It was nice to just sit back and watch a game. They even added on runs after. You figure even when they score runs, this team, it's like, oh, they get that five in the third. That's it. It better hold up because they're not getting any more. But they actually got a couple of clutch hits. Again, stole second at home. It was like, ooh, oh man, it was refreshing. Even if it was just a mirage, I enjoyed drinking the water just for a night.
You're not stupid.
Yeah.
You said something last night that was correct about, like, you know, now this is all we have, right? Mm-hmm. The deadline isn't something we can look forward to. All we have is to root for these guys to make the third wild card.
That's it.
And if you're a Yankee fan, you should be rooting for that. Even if you don't believe, which I don't believe, I don't believe that they're going to win anything this year.
Correct.
I don't believe they're going to make that third wild card. But I'm watching and I'm hoping and I'm rooting for it. I don't understand the fans that take a night off, because if you saw the Yankees go down 2-0 last night and you turned the TV off, then you missed a good game. You missed a pivotal game in this season.
No doubt. No doubt. I think you can argue. We'll see where it goes from here. I thought that Volpe home run was the biggest hit of the year so far, obviously. I mean, every game is the biggest game. To stop that feeling of the game is over. I mean, that was because if you get past the third into the fourth, into the fifth, and it's just the same thing where you're being shut down by a starting pitcher, Cole's two runs are probably going to be the two runs he gave up are going to be enough to sink this team. And in the third inning, he hits that home run, and immediately you feel like, okay, you take a breath. And then they continue to add on. You get the three-run home run shot. But that Volpe home run, like you said, anyone – I was close to just giving up. I mean, like anyone, as positive as a Yankee fan as you could possibly be, that give up – the two batters into the game, they're down 2-0. And you figure, well, listen, Cole's due for at least a subpar start or an average start and giving up 3-4 runs in 6-7 innings. Like, he's due for it. He's that good. And you figure two batters in, it's over. And he slowly but surely locks in, and then Volpe hits the home run, and it's a different game from that point on. So, yeah, I don't get anybody who would give up either. You know, I understand your point, but I'm on the roller coaster, man. I'm locked in. I'm all we could do is just hope that this thing turns around. And I love Steve Cohen's quote that hope is not a strategy. I love that because it's not a strategy, and it feels like that's what the Yankees have done here at the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the strategy they went with, and it's better than no hope. So I'm gonna ride the hope as a strategy until I have no hope. So, but we'll see. Big start. The series is now. This is it.
I was listening to your show last night on my way home, and you had a caller start off with, like, you know, I'm disappointed in Keith. He's with us. He's not with us.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got a couple.
I'm like, if it's not obvious that I'm 100% with the Yankees.
Of course,
like,
you are, yeah.
But,
and that's,
like,
what I said to him.
You gotta be serious with yourself. I was not expecting Cashman to not add one bat at the deadline. The way that this team was floundering, the way the team was struggling, like – the last few weeks were screaming, hey, we need to do more than fire Dylan Lawson. And I just expressed my feelings about the team as they were struggling. And the fact that, like, I just don't believe that they can make a run. But maybe they can, because what I said last night was, I think they must have had some type of players meeting. IKF talked about the fact that he screamed, he yelled, he cheered, I'm still a Yankee. When the deadline passed and he didn't hear anything, he was elated to still be with the New York Yankees. So there's definitely a part of these athletes, their competitive nature, to look around the clubhouse and say, this is the team. Like, we are all here for a reason. How do you want to be remembered? How do you want to go out? Do you want to crash and burn? Do you want to miss the postseason? Do you want to waste a prime year of Aaron Judge and Garrett Cole's career? Judge the MVP last year. Cole the AL's Cy Young favorite this year. I think they got off the mat last night. They didn't want to get swept. They didn't want to lose four in a row. And they found some pride.
Well,
so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we got news here that I'm trying to put my thoughts into form because I'm really annoyed now.
Yeah,
and I feel bad. Rizzo is going on the IL. It was the second night in a row where he's not in the lineup. He's going on the IL with a concussion. And Boone is quoted and saying, just seeing it's literally happening right now. I'm seeing the quotes. You can trace this back to the Tatis collision. Testing showed cognitive impairment.
They are a mess.
First of all, let me just say, I hope Rizzo's okay. All right, I hope the head stuff is no joke. It's scary, even with, like, you know, migraines, like they what's his name is having Clint, with the Mets.
Clint Frazier had the issue, right. But Marte's
having. Even if it's just migraine headaches, whatever. I hope Rizzo's okay, but it has been 2 months where Rizzo has been the worst hitter in the sport. And they tell us over and over again, he's fine. He's as in good a spot health-wise as he's been in his tenure as a Yankee. That's what we're being told. And while I don't necessarily, if they're going to play him, expect us to tell us everything, you can't tell us it's not an issue. He's completely healthy. There's nothing going on there. Even if you tell us, look, it's still hampering him a little bit, but he can play through it. It's not that big a deal. I'm fine with that almost. I don't expect him to say, yeah, no, he's, you know, he can barely see, or he's having major problems and we're just throwing him out there anyway. Like, obviously. But to watch him play for 2 months, to go through the trade deadline without trying to figure out a first baseman, knowing that he's in this kind of funk and it's probably traced back to the injury he suffered at the end of May, which is the clear delineation of when he was actually good to when he became the worst player in baseball. What is going on?
Negligence.
What is going on? Now I'm mad because it was clear as day.
Add it to everything else, Chris. I've spoken a lot about how they let players stay on the field after they get hurt. We've seen that with Judge in Dodger Stadium. We saw that with Judge when he broke his first rib. Like, yeah, finish the game. You're all right. And I'm a football player, and I watch the NFL, and when somebody goes down for a second, you can't play the next play. So where is the sense of urgency with your own guys that you're depending on, that you're paying millions of dollars? I know we all talked about Tatis taking that step and knocking Rizzo's head and neck and him stumbling there.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's been 2 months.
Yeah.
So you assume that their medical people cleared him. You assume that he took a concussion test. I've taken concussion tests. They have you look at some spots and some shapes and some numbers and some things. And depending on what you score, they can tell whether you're concussed or not. Did they not do that with him?
And I'm just, as a Yankee fan, you know, upset about the idea they allowed this guy to play. But also, what about Rizzo's health? I know it's not football where he's getting hit every day, where it's like you can't allow him to. I don't know necessarily baseball. You can re-injure yourself.
He's probably driven a car. He's probably done other things in his life.
It's
regular
been two
things.
Months. I don't know. Now, did anything else happen that made them retest it? Like, what is going on? Again, we don't have all the information. I'm not a doctor, so I feel uncomfortable going too far into what I'm about to say. But, like, I'm at a loss for words.
It's negligence.
On how this was handled.
It's a mess. They are in an identity crisis. They are disconnected from top to bottom, and this is just another thing that you add in. The first thing I thought was, did he get hit recently? No, if this is a concussion that they're tracing back to Memorial Day weekend when the Padres were here, that's unacceptable. It's not right. It's not fair to him, first off, as a person, right? To just keep sending him out there when he's compromised. They didn't really check him out. They didn't put him on the IL then. They gave him a game or two off, and then he's been in the lineup every single day, struggling the worst stretch of his career. We're saying it's age. We're saying it's the hitting coach. We're saying he's just in a funk. If you're concussed, that changes every single thing in your eyes, in your brain, in your approach. Ryan just put in the chat his number since the Tatis collision.
Of course.
172 batting average, 496 OPS, one homer in 46 games. Well, if he was concussed then and he didn't fully recover or didn't get right in the 2 months, that's on the Yankees, man. That's upsetting.
And I mean, I know people will speculate. I'm seeing some of it now that this is not necessarily like they're just finding a reason to put him on the IL because he's been so bad. And it's an easy thing to just say, well, he had the concussion.
Can't say he's got an armpit issue.
Right. Yeah. So they'll come up with this. I have no idea. All I know is he looked like a compromised player and all of us thought so. And I was saying, like, all I can do is that he's playing. Like, we would get callers. I'm sure you did. I got him. He's hurt. He's dealing with the neck stuff. He's dealing with the head stuff. And I would say, I don't know if you're right or wrong, but they're playing him. They're telling me he's fine. Rizzo's doing post games, talking about we need to get it together. Like, I don't understand why you would play a compromised player. Who, it's not even like he was performing well. It was clearly affecting him. And then you have a deadline to try and improve yourself at the first base position. And I understand Bowers is now an easy, you put him in the effort, but now you could really use an outfielder. Like, this
he missed the scoop the other night. Bowers isn't just the automatic.
No, he's not as good as Rizzo, but he can play first base. We'll see. But what really bothers me now is that this should have been addressed at the deadline. Like, recognize you have a player who can't
Crone
play.
CJ Cron was traded. Carlos Santana was traded.
Yeah. No,
if you were proactive on Cody Bellinger, that would have been a guy that could play first and left field.
Or even Condelario, who got him for nothing. Then you move LeMahieu over to first base. Like, there's options to deal with it. You don't go through the deadline, do nothing, and then 2 days after the deadline, say, Rizzo's been compromised.
What a week of absolute nonsense from the franchise that acts like they're above everyone, like they're smarter than the fans, like we don't know anything.
Yeah. I've been hesitant to, like, you know, really get too in on Cashman and Boone's job. This is negligence. This is out and out. Now, I'm sure, you know, everyone's been on the conversation. I'm sure Hal's. If this is brand new news to Hal, then, you know, shame on him for not being on hands on enough. So I'm sure they've been talking about Rizzo's. Like, you have to be talking to the guy, going over with the guy, testing the guy, right? Like, I mean, he's in that much of a funk, the worst of his career, and it was a switch, and there was an obvious
happening. Everyone saw it.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't just like out of nowhere. He gets hit in the head. He needs 3 days off, and he's miserable ever since. There's an actual point of content that you can look back to and say, all right, why aren't they testing him? What happened that this test suddenly comes back with an issue and now, we can track it back. I mean, it's
2 months later, he hits the IL. And I guess they want to, you know, behind the scenes, get him right. But this should have been done sooner. It's negligent. It's not fair to him. It's not fair to the team. It looks bad. And what else looks bad? We also hear today that Domingo Germán, right? Tuesday night after the whole debacle on Monday with Johnny Brito and the armpit, and he gets scratched, but then he's the first guy out of the bullpen. He throws 5 innings, gives up no runs. You know, this guy has been jerked around by the Yankees this whole season. And some is his fault, right? He's got the bad rap from the domestic violence issue, which was related to alcohol in 2019. He had the sticky stuff issue this year, got suspended. He had the perfect game, which literally immortalizes him in Yankees history. He's going to forever be remembered as a Yankee. But I think he's done now with the Yankees. And I think there's more to the story than we realize. I think this guy wanted to pitch. I think that he got drunk Tuesday and probably was at the facility in the clubhouse visibly drunk. Because he's probably that you like that's got to weigh a ton on a guy. You scratched me for Brito and I missed my start. And also this year, you've pulled me when I was at 74 pitches cruising, 88 pitches with a no hitter. Yeah. Well, I get jerked around so much. Like, I don't know. After Cashman didn't make a move at the deadline, maybe he hit the bottle like a lot of Yankees fans and said, what are we doing here?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No, I mean, he's a professional. I hear what you're saying. He's been jerked around with a lot. I get it, but I mean, he's a professional athlete. There's no, if he went into the clubhouse and started throwing things around, I mean, I don't know if that you could put that on the Yankees. As much as I agree with a lot of the things you're saying about how they handled them,
I can easily draw a line for how we got there.
He's been an interesting case study this entire season. If you mentioned some of the ups and downs, he gets off to a bad start, then he kind of locks in, then he gets the accusation against Minnesota where it's his hands were sticky, but it's okay, stay in the game. Then he gets bagged for it again. Then he comes back. He has a start where he has consecutive starts, one in which he gives up 10 runs where he looks like he's absolutely lost. Then he locks it in, throws a perfect game, and then it goes down the tubes to this point. I mean, it has been you talk about roller coasters. I mean, this guy has been on a roller coaster all year, and it's an unfortunate end, and I hope he figures his life out. But yeah, this is, you know, I agree with you. I can't imagine Herman being back on the team ever again. I hope his baseball career isn't over. I hope he gets his life together. But I don't know what to say. Then yeah, he's gone. I think you have to just plug away without having and let him take care of himself and worry about the Yankees another way. I still don't think it's an excuse to start Severino. I don't think that's a reason why you could say, well, you know, now we're down Herman. What are you gonna do? We got to start Severino. No, I'd rather throw Vasquez. I still believe that they're, you know, I don't know about giving up on Friday, but they don't. There's no urgency to win that Friday game.
Start Ian Hamilton.
You're laughing. I'm not kidding. Start Ian Hamilton. Like anything but Severino, you can't throw him back out there. So I think, I mean, we'll see. It doesn't mean he's going to definitely pitch poorly. I don't know. But you can't have any faith, and you can't tell me you take that game seriously starting Severino. So I don't think the Herman issue gives them an excuse to play Severino, but
that's, you know how they look for lanes with the bullpen? Starting Severino on Friday is their lane to rest Judge. They rested Judge his last start knowing we didn't stand a chance. They're like, here's our chance to get Judge off his feet Friday. He'll play four games in a row. Yeah. We'll rest him on Friday.
Probably. You're probably not wrong. You're probably not wrong, but it's just, I can't get the Rizzo thing out of my head. I'm hopping mad.
I know.
Like these are the kind of things. Like I've been on Boone and Cashman's bandwagon as much as anybody, and I try to give them the benefit of the doubt a lot because I like to think that, you know, many people talk about toxic relationships and, oh, I can't believe I got my kids into this. Like, I've never for a minute thought like I had it rough being a Yankee fan. It's just how I felt. I even though they haven't won, and it's the Ricky Bobby, if you're not first, you're last, and it's about championships, and they haven't done that in a while. But not for a moment have I ever considered, oh, I can't put my kid in. I can't bring my kid into Yankee fandom.
It's luxury versus poverty.
I've always felt like I've been lucky to be a Yankee fan. So, and that's my entire life is pretty much the Cashman era. So I've been willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, even though I react and see things that I don't like, and I'm honest about them. But at the same time, I go, well, there's a lot that they've done well, and people don't want to give them credit because we just get hung up in no championships. That's been my kind of stance. This today is, and Metsy. Rizzo,
this is like the Mets. Mets will come out with a random headline. This whole week has been a Metsy week, and the Mets are actually like looking at the Mets and what they've done this week. Yeah. I'm like, they look competent. They look like they're connected together and have a vision. The Yankees.
That's true.
I don't know what the Yankees are doing.
They're also losing on walk-off balks and getting shut out by Kansas City, and no one gives a damn. Like, and no one cares because the games don't matter, and it's August 1st. I don't want that either. So I understand your point that at least they had a plan and executed it.
Talking about the front office.
And oh no, I get you. They had a plan. They executed it. I get it. And the Yankees looked like they had no plan whatsoever. But this, to have a compromised player where it's obvious to everyone who watches the games that something's up with him. And all you do is tell us how he's great. He's fine.
He's in the best health.
Okay. Yeah. So we're getting it as we come along here, people. I apologize if we get little confused or back and forth. Now we're hearing from Ryan, our producer. Boone says that Rizzo went through concussion testing after the Tatis collision and passed all of them. So he wasn't diagnosed with a concussion, obviously. I think they would have announced that when it happened. But, I mean, it's just
they say now. He's out.
I know.
And we've already lost games where he gets up with runners on and he can't see the ball. He can't put the bat to the ball. The guy's been compromised for 2 months.
And
that's what
happens
with concussions. Even if he passed their test, Chris, if they don't shut you down and treat it and make sure you're good, the symptoms can linger. Yeah. And there's a lot of different things that can linger. Your vision is compromised. Your senses are compromised. Your thinking, your hearing, like it's.
And no, and it's on them, and I'm furious with them. But a part of it's on Rizzo too. You have to be honest, and you have to say like something's not right. I'm not seeing the ball right. Like something's not right. Instead of just I'm confused as anyone. I'm trying to work.
Judge
through
was
it. Like,
out. I guess he's trying to be. Second in command with Judge out.
It coincides with Judge going down. He felt like he had to step up. I get it. And it's on the Yankees. I think some of it's on Rizzo, but ultimately I agree. It's on the Yankees to protect him from himself. And then, honestly, be accountable for the other 25 guys on the roster who are out there trying to win with a compromised 3-4 hitter. Yeah. Like, he's hitting third every night.
Batting him third.
He is the number one. I've been saying it for 2 months. He is the number one reason why they're in the tailspin they're in. I put it mainly on Rizzo and his what he's turned into. I guess the only positive of this is maybe he gets healthy and next year he's not going to be this player we saw for 2 months. There's at least a reason for it as opposed to just falling off a cliff and his skills determined.
Wait till next year, Chris. He's got to come back. There's nobody on. There's no help on the way.
They're on the hook for him next. I don't even know what I'm talking about. You're right. But he's on the hook
this season.
He's on the hook for next year on the contract. And we thought that we were going to have a player who's no longer worthy of being a baseball player. At least now there's a reason to why he struggled this way. But no, it is to start this Houston series with the win of last night, but to start this Houston series with the idea of Herman and his situation doing nothing at the deadline, reports, surrounding that, and then the idea of this now leading into this where Rizzo's not going to play on the IL. We can trace it back to the moment he became the worst baseball player in the world. Like, I just...
And Severino's starting tomorrow.
Severino's starting on Friday.
One of these games, Judge is not going to be in the lineup.
One of the games, Judge isn't going to play. Nestor Cortez is coming back with a 60-pitch count. Like, it's going to be a miracle they get through it now. Now, it's just going to be a flat-out miracle. I hope they rally around this and something sparks, and it's the greatest World Series DVD of all time. But I'm besides myself with this Rizzo news. I just want to close my computer and I want to crawl back into bed and try and get the 2 hours sleep I need before going on the show tonight because I'm just going to yell for two or three straight hours.
Yeah, I hope they win because I have to speak on it just like you. And I have nothing positive to say about this. This is a mess. This is negligent. This didn't have to go this way. These are supposed to be the prestigious New York Yankees that are, carrying themselves as if they're upper echelon, better than everyone. All day, every day, and tomorrow. And now they look like they are disconnected. And I've been saying there's an identity crisis. Something is going on internally where people got to be either disagreeing or not knowing how to go about things publicly. This has been a week of nonsense from Aaron Judge is not going to play in the rubber match. You lose that game. Severino sucks, and you know that. But you let him start the game. You're down 7 runs. Saw it coming. Then you go to start your own homestand. And you scratch Herman in favor of Brito. You send the kid Ron Marinaccio down. Bye, Ronnie. Hopefully he comes back better. But then, obviously, Domingo is fine. He pitches 5 innings. And then the next day, he gets drunk. Yeah, I don't have to pitch for 5 days. That's my day to drink. And I'm not making it. I'm making jokes about it. I'm not making it seem like it's okay because this guy obviously had his own issues. But like, I just kind of look at it like, I understand you being frustrated, man. They mess with your job. They mess with your career, your life. And then that leads into where we are now with this Rizzo news. And it's just like, what are they thinking? They're not thinking.
I guess Boone's saying just the last couple of days, Rizzo's been complaining about fogginess. And they ran him through a battery of tests and he came back cognitive impairment. Now, again, first and foremost, I hope Rizzo's okay. So I'm going to try and just get that out of the way. I think Rizzo has been an overall good Yankee, excuse me, and one of the leaders of the team, and clearly someone who's so important that we've been – that's why he's been such a talking point for the last 2 months. So I hope he's okay. I don't know what cognitive impairment is. That sounds scary to me. So, I mean, hopefully that's something you can recover
you ever
from.
Play
it's not,
like,
it's not
you
an
ever
issue. But
you ever played brain games or, like, you played Wordle or even now this, like, Immaculate Grid?
Yeah.
I bet right now Rizzo's not good at those games.
Right. Right.
Not to make jokes, but, like, that's what it means. You're, like, cognitive functions. Sometimes when you wake up and you're not all there yet and you can't speak right or you can't really, like – That's right. What happens. I was concussed in college and my vision crossed in a practice and I was so scared. I couldn't blink and like see straight. Right. And they put me in concussion protocol. I went through the test. I sat out a couple days, but I just remember being in a weird fog. I think they said something about a fog. You're in a you're not yourself.
Yeah.
You're not yourself for at least a week.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like I know what the word cognitive means and I know what impairment means, just like I know what back and chronic means, but I still don't know exactly. That still doesn't mean I understand exactly the back issue that Rodon has.
Armpit and discomfort.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I still don't necessarily know like concussion with, I mean, I'm hoping that just means normal concussion and he needs to just sit down, but the injury was 2 months ago. And there's nothing that's happened since to make me like if out of nowhere, all of a sudden now, months later, he's experiencing side effects from an injury 2 months ago. That would scare the hell out of me. So I'm scared for Rizzo. I hope he's good. I hope he has a return here after 10 days. I hope, everything works out for him. But I mean, it's just.
I just want to pretend he's going down to Tampa to take some swings and get right. They're going to call in an IL stint because a 2 month long concussion is bad. Like that's like the start of CTE or something like that's not
and
good.
It's ridiculous that they had to have been questions asked. He should have been going through testing. Like it's unfortunate. I mean, maybe he said he was great and it's just a matter of working through things, but over and over again, and I mean over and over again, he's not just okay. He's in a great spot physically. He's in as good a spot physically as he's been. Now, I guess that meant the back. His back hasn't bothered him this year. That's because he probably hasn't been driving the baseball. So his back doesn't seem to bother him. But, I mean, it's just.
That's that piss on your leg and tell you it's raining, Chris. That's that. We'll just pacify the media and the fans on Yankees Twitter and tell them, no, he's good. He's good. So it justifies putting him in the lineup and batting him third every day when clearly we're watching. And some of this guy's swings, his approach, he's swinging and he's dropping to a knee and just like not on time. And you're watching Rizzo and you're like, what the hell happened to this guy?
Yeah, no. And zapped of power completely. I'm at a loss here. I hope he's okay. But I mean, I think this is of all the things, the deadline, anything else, the trade for Donaldson, of all the things that many Yankee fans will deem incompetent. The handling of Anthony Rizzo during the most important stretch of the season without Judge, and then going through the deadline and not thinking first base was an issue of importance.
Ignorant.
And doing nothing, bringing no player here. Because there's flexible guys on this roster. You have Bowers, who's been good for them. Not, they talk him up like he's been an all-star, but that's only because he's been better than all the other crap they've thrown out there. But Bowers has been fairly competent for you. You know that you have LeMahieu who can play first base, not brilliantly, nothing. No one's going to replace Rizzo defensively, but there are options where you don't even have to go get a first baseman. If you get an outfielder, that moves Bowers to first. If you go get Candelario, that moves LeMahieu to first. They didn't even have to go out and get a first baseman. They had options. They could have got an infielder, an outfielder, a first baseman. They could have done any of those three things to help with this Rizzo issue, and instead they do nothing, and then 2 days after the deadline, when there is nothing else to do, they tell you, well, listen, there's been a problem, you know, and it's, you can trace it back.
Bro.
You can trace it back off to Tatis. It's unacceptable. It is. It's out
it's
now.
It's pissing me off to think that, like if this team does not make the postseason, they have to make the postseason now. They have to figure it out. They have to find it, because no one is going to get fired. But, like, these are fireable offenses in any other profession. If you withhold this type of information and you let somebody do their job when they're compromised,
Yeah,
someone
I agree
gets
you
in trouble.
It's not even what he told the fans. That just is what pisses us off. I don't even care about that as far as firing, hiring, and firing. But you're right. This is the kind of thing that, I mean, how could you look at it as an owner and say, this is a well-run ship? Like you've got, even though I don't want to put the Herman stuff on them at all, but you've got players having issues in a myriad of different ways. You've got inaction. You've got you've got terrible hitting approaches. You've got the fan base all over the management. It's just up and down. There is just so many indications and so many spots you can point to where it seems like they're lost. So if you're the owner of this team, and maybe some of it's on him, he doesn't want to spend the money. Maybe he's told Cashman no to certain things
that
wouldn't make a difference.
There's too many mixed signals, and that's why I say they're disconnected and there's an identity crisis. I feel like there's too many people that want to do different things and they're not in lockstep. They're not all on the same page.
Yeah.
Clearly. Clearly.
Yeah, I don't know. But all I know is that now I'm this is extremely frustrating, because we watched this guy just turn a 172 with a 4.96 OPS over 40 games with one home run. And now and the quote is, you can trace it back to the obvious moment that we all traced it back to. And you said, no, don't trace it back to that. He's good. Now today, yeah, you can trace it back to that. It's just trying to get pumped up for a Houston series, Keith. I'm trying to get pumped up for a Houston series.
The vibes have been terrible for a while now. The vibes are not good. I'm glad they won last night because we needed that, but the vibes are not good. Let's see. Finoco says, I'm a Twins fan here. A concussion knocked Justin Morneau out for a year. Was never really the same player after his concussion.
Yeah. No, listen, it's no joke. It's no joke.
And it's hard enough to hit a baseball.
Yeah. No, and especially after, you know, it being 2 months later. Like, it would be one thing if he had a concussion right away and they gave him a week, 2 weeks off. Then you go, okay, you know, he's got a concussion. Hopefully he'll come back. Same thing with Clint Frazier. He had the concussion, hit his head on the back of the wall. He was gone for a while. And it lingered and everything, and I understand that. But this was, everything's okay. Now, 2 months later, it's starting to show itself. I mean, it's scary.
So Rizzo has to still make his appearances and do his medias and his, brand deals. So Musina90 writes, how about Rizzo at Fanatics HQ signing autographs on Michael Rubin's IG story 5 hours ago? He's got time on his hands. He didn't play last night. He's not playing today. He's on the IL now. So
yeah, I mean, he probably took the test and waiting for the results. And so what is he supposed to do? I mean, I'm not mad at Rizzo. I mean, I guess he told them that he was feeling foggy over the last couple of days, and that's when he decided to do the test. And if that's really the case, like if he says, I'm fine, and then finally admits I'm having some fogginess, they test them, and now I don't know. Again, we're just finding it out. It's frustrating because of the fact that there was a moment in time that you could point right to. And from that point on, he was awful. And they just finished like 2 days ago. The only opportunity to actually improve it and do something about it, about the idea that him not being part of the team, it's just incredibly frustrating. So again, I hate this because injuries are tough. I'm never someone. Same thing with Judge and getting days off. I'm the one guy that was just like, hey. And I thought Boone's answer on Talking Yanks, the interview, I thought he got heated to protect his player, and I thought he made sense. I'm the one guy, I suppose, because he's like, listen, he didn't play a single game, a rehab game.
Right.
He's come back. He's still got torn ligaments in his toes. He can barely run the bases. He played 2 out of 3 in a series we didn't even expect him to be a part of because of the urgency. They brought him back and allowed him to play 2 or 3 games in Baltimore because of the urgency. Like, I get that. I knew Judge wasn't going to come back and play every day. I get resting the players. I get injuries and whatever they deem, as frustrating as it can be at times, and it certainly hasn't helped prevent injuries, some of their tactics to prevent injuries. It certainly hasn't done it, but I'm not one. I don't get on people for injury. When Judge has to play or when Judge needs a day off, he's dealing with an injury, I don't get on it. But when it seems like they've been oblivious to an injury for 2 months when it's staring us all in the face, and then just after they where the period ends, where they can actually do something about it to help it, they announce it. I mean, this is a frustrating day, man. And it's the absolute buzzkill I did not need heading into a 4-game set that's probably going to determine whether or not they're worth watching after this. I mean,
it could be bad. They lose 3 out of 4 here to a team that's currently in the wild card. You know, Houston loves to come to Yankee Stadium. You know that they look at these games like they are postseason. Meanwhile, the Yankees look at these games like, just 1 out of 162. We heard Martin Maldonado say this is like the postseason for us coming to face the Yankees. So, Bauer's at first base. Is it finally time to give Florial another shot? No. I don't expect to see him.
It was Cabrera, right? I saw earlier today. So someone tweeted.
Cabrera's back up here.
He had a locker, so it's going to be Oswaldo Cabrera.
Your opening day left fielder is back.
Yeah. No, I don't. They should call up somebody. They should call up
Pereira.
Call up Pereira.
If you don't like Florial, which is obvious.
Clearly.
Send Emerson Pereira. Let's see what
send them up. Send them up. Let's see something. But now, you know, Bowers is the everyday first baseman. Him and LeMahieu will switch off playing first base. And because of how Rizzo's been playing, it doesn't make me feel like, oh, now they're screwed. How you can't do it without Rizzo. They've been doing it without Rizzo. So, I mean, it's almost like I'm not dejected in that aspect but now I know he can't turn it around. That was part of the reason you had any kind of hope was that Rizzo can't be this bad forever, can he? Well, now we know why, and who knows when he gets back. Maybe the days off help him. Maybe he needs to just relax, take it easy.
Lies, Chris. I can't deal with the shadiness. I can't deal with them acting like they're holier than thou, and then later on being like, "Oh, well, actually, come on, bro."
No, I know it's frustrating.
And it makes Cashman not doing already tight about it, but it makes it even more criminal. That you had a compromised guy at first base that you traded for 2 years ago. You could have plugged somebody in, a major league bat, a left-handed bat. You could have. Now they're going to just re-sign Luke Voit.
No, that's actually – I forgot about that. He just opted out. I would not be surprised. He's got, 14 home runs and a 1.03 OPS in his 36 games with the Mets in AAA.
Don't need another right-handed bat. Don't need another strikeout king, but they will consider it. Oh, Trey Mancini. Absolutely. Where's Trey Mancini at?
Yeah, Trey Mancini. Yeah, no, bring in someone.
Maybe Jay Bruce will dust off the old Yankee
uniform.
Oh,
please, Jay Bruce. Yeah, where's Lyle Overbay? Maybe they could bring him back to play first base. Oh, my God.
Chris they get Chase available.
They get we Chase
need
Headley
some
to play.
Power.
They can get Chase Headley to play third and move LeMahieu over to first. I mean,
oh, my goodness. It's like this. We laugh, but we're laughing through the pain. It shouldn't be like this. It should not. We should not be here on August 3rd.
This one stinks, man. This one really bothers me. This one, because it's an organization showing they're incompetent. I mean, that's what it feels like.
Right.
And again, I'm not – I don't know. I don't know if that's fair or not. I really don't know, but there's no other way to view it from the outside right now. The only way to view it from the outside is they seem, if you consider this, along with the deadline, along with everything else, along with the way they handled Herman the other day, like just in the week, this last week alone, forget everything else of the whole season, not allowing, you know, not filling left field, you know, telling us all that DJ was going to have a bounce back year. I mean, all of it rolled into one. It just seems like the Yankees have no idea what they're doing.
Oh, Josh Donaldson is about to – they're going to transfer Josh Donaldson from the 60-day
IL. Yeah, I don't know if they can, but yeah.
They're going to do something.
I'm sure they're regretting it right now. I'm sure they're regretting it.
Yeah, Donaldson says he's fine. He's all ready to go, actually. I feel better now. Yeah, they tried to shut his season down, but now they need him. Yeah, and you're right. With the 60-day IL, you have to serve a certain amount of time.
I don't think you can move him off. He's got to serve the 60 days. I think that's just how it works. I don't think once you do that, it's final. I don't think you can take guys on and off.
60-day IL.
I thought that's what it was. It's 60 days from his last playing.
Yeah, retroactively. It
has to be 60. I don't think you can take him on and off. Then what's the point of having a 60 if you just take him on and off of it? So it frees up. It takes him. It frees up a spot on the 40 man. There's reasons to do it, but now it's 60 days. What are we talking about? Are we talking about how we can get Josh Donaldson back? What are we talking about?
But that's where we're at. There's no help on the way.
I feel like you
need him to play third so DJ can play first.
I feel like I'm in the Truman Show. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
We're in an episode of Black Mirror where the Yankees are the Mets. The Yankees are getting super Metsy now.
I know.
It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, we'll see. Again, they got a four-game set here.
That's players on the 60-day IL must remain on it for a minimum of 60 days, not 40, not 30. You're beat with Josh Donaldson. He's got to stay there.
So we got
– like they did that with Seve last year. They put Seve on the 60-day IL. He's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I'm trying to play.
So, I mean, going into the series, just to do it quickly for bookkeeping, you got Christian Javier, who owns the Yankees. Even though he's having a 4.33 ERA this year, he's 7-2 with a 4.3 ERA, but he's, you know, dominated the Yankees every time they saw him.
Did he throw the no-hitter here last
year? Yeah, he started the no-hitter. Yeah. And then you got Brown, who's 7-7 with a 4.12 against Severino. And then Cortez and Rodon against to be determined, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's Verlander and Valdez. I mean, you're going to see it's going to be a tough four games. It's going to be a miracle. Maybe, just maybe, they rally around this. Maybe they pick up Rizzo. Maybe they pick up the organization. Maybe all this talk. Yeah,
problem is they got a good lineup too.
Oh, no.
They can hit too.
They're a much
good
better
luck,
team.
Clark. Good luck, Nestor. 60 pitch. Like, oh, my God.
No, they're in 60 trouble.
60 pitch limit.
This is going to be some series if they
Luis
can figure
Severino
it out.
Luis Severino bounced back against the Astros.
That's, you know what? That's just what will happen. It's amazing enough. It's crazy. That's what's going to happen. I mark my words. Yeah. They're going to lose all three games except the Severino game. He's going to deal and throw eight innings. And then we'll fool ourselves into thinking he's fixed. And then the next big outing, he'll give up 10 runs in the first two. Like, that's
at least the Jets are on tonight.
I know. At least there's some football, right?
Something to distract you. Something to turn the channel from.
Yeah.
Maybe tonight I can talk about something, anything from the Jet game.
No,
I know I'm going to waste a ton of time talking about the pile of mistakes that these guys have made this year and how it's unacceptable.
Yeah. Enough with these.
You know, Hal Steinbrenner says, I don't know why they're upset.
Yeah.
And look at how many more things have piled up to make the Yankee fan upset since the third week of June when he said that.
Just the last few days is enough. I mean,
just
a few days. I mean, you know, doing from that Vermont thing on.
Dog days of baseball. We're damn sure in them.
Man, oh, man. It's I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say. I'm so frustrated right now.
Winning cures all. Gotta win.
That's it. I mean, that's true. That's why, you know, you can
back-to-back wins.
You can lie to the fan base like Bill Belichick if you win like Bill Belichick. But you know,
when you lose, you got an angry mob coming, and those people dial 877-337-6666.
Yes, they do.
And it's my job and Chris's job
to
take those calls.
I'm really curious to see what the reaction is to this from the fan base.
Fire Cashman. George would have never allowed this. Don't go to the stadium. Boycott the team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, see, like, but that's the one thing. Like, George would have never sold at the deadline. George would have never told Cashman to punt on the year, ever. Ever.
They talk about how they're three games out. That means you go for it. That doesn't
100%
mean you
agree.
Stand pat. You're out of it. You're not three games plus into it.
100%.
I don't know. The Yankees make me feel – I watched baseball my entire life. I taught myself the game. And when I watch the Yankees and how they do business and the things they do, I realize I don't know a damn thing.
Well, this is a turning point for me. I've been willing on many of occasions to give the benefit of the doubt. This one, there's nothing to say, but this is just – they handled this baseball team this season as poorly as you can handle it. That's on Boone. It's on Cashman. It's on the owner. It's on everybody. This, you could not mishandle a team as much as the Yankees have mishandled this one. And having said that, it's amazing they're four games over 500, three games out with a legitimate chance to make the postseason. From that point on, I don't know what kind of chance they have, but they have a legitimate chance because I don't think the Red Sox are that good. I don't think the Toronto Blue Jays are that good. I mean – Why are the Blue Jays 2.5 games, you know, 3 games better without any? Why are they only 3 games better? They should be much better. Like, I don't trust the Blue Jays. Every big spot, the Yankees beat them, even when they're at their worst. Like, I think they can. I really do. I still think they can figure out a way to get into the postseason. But, and maybe that'll be the saving grace here, because I love postseason games. I love waking up knowing that the Yankees play a postseason game.
Need it.
Like, I love it.
That October win.
I breathe for it. I live and breathe for this.
Baseball in the Bronx, we should have it every year, but it's going to be tough to have it this year.
It's going to be tough to have it this year. And honestly, I mean, this is a low. And with the way they handled this Rizzo situation, I mean, this is
they
the kind of
thing. They find new lows, Chris. They this just is the, keep, even if it's not a loss, they find a new way to piss you off.
Just even last night, I was going on and on about how they're not firing Cashman. Look at how he traded the deadline. That's not a desperate man.
That was spot on.
Now this throws it up in the air. These are the kind of things that get you fired. They are. Yeah. These are the kind of things that get you fired. I think now this season has taken on a different feel. Cashman and Boone have to get to the finish line. They don't have to win the World Series because that's just not how
they
want
to treat
it.
The postseason.
But they better be in Minnesota to play a 3-game wild card. They better be there. They better be there. And then they better win that series. But they better get there because this is the kind of embarrassing and ineptness. This is the kind of just absolute, just there's no other word for it, inept way of handling a team, that these are the kind of things that get you fired. I mean, now we're at the point now. This is the kind of thing that regimes need to change, because this you cannot handle it worse.
Well, make sure you renew your season ticket plans.
Yeah,
and get Apple TV, Amazon Prime, Peacock, and the Yes app. And come out to Yankee Stadium to get your 99 Aaron Judge basketball jersey, your Harry Potter hat, your Bucky Dent bobblehead. We'll see you in the Bronx this week. And that's all we've got.
That's Bronx
Baseball Podcast. Let's go, Yanks. Winning cures all. That's the only thing left to do. Go out and beat the Astros in a series.
Let's go, Yanks. Yeah.
We're out of here. Tell a friend to tell a friend.
See ya.
See you next time.